You're listening to View from the Couch, a podcast about TV, movies, DVD, and just about anything from parents with children. And now, your hosts, Kent and Michelle. Hey, welcome to View from the Couch for Wednesday, September 14th. How are you, ma'am?
Little exhausted today.
We are cramming the show recording in because you have to go and pick Connor up from one of the many classes you've enrolled him in.
Yes, I do. Yeah. We are right in full swing now with all the kids' activities.
Why are we adding more than last year?
Because Connor deserves it.
Yeah, but do you deserve to have a nervous breakdown and kill someone?
No.
I just think too much is too much. That's what I think.
Yeah, but it's not too much for him.
No. But it's too much logistically to try and cram it all in.
I'll make it work.
All right. She'll make it work. Everybody heard that? You're our witnesses.
4 days back and forth to the Y. Another different 4 days back and forth from dancing.
Yes.
Plus two.
And you were saying how bad last year was.
I know.
I think you're setting me up to be killed by you or yelled at a lot. In about a month from now, the kids are going to be saying, why is mom yelling more than she was last year? That's what they're going to be saying. You mark my words. This is yelly pants.
The difference this year is that I don't have to go anywhere for my job.
Speaking of yelly pants, I just started reading Tina Fey's book, Bossy Pants, which I took out from the library and I waited. I was 50th in line when I reserved it. So suddenly
Crazy.
It showed up.
There you are.
Very funny. Started reading it. So probably most folks know her from 30 Rock. She's on the show. She's in charge of the show, all that jazz. Date Night with
One that we had a love-hate relationship with.
Yeah, it was weird. Why did we have a love-hate relationship with Date Night?
Because there was some over-the-top sexual stuff that we didn't love.
I remember that.
Not, like, visually.
No. Huh, weird. I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, that was why.
Well, what is going on in the world? Of course, 9/11 happened this weekend. If you probably saw some or all of that coverage, you may have seen there was tons of coverage. And it was, it was all good. Keeping us reminded of the sacrifices that were made and so on. But I touched on this last week, so we'll move on. What's happening this week? Little known independent film series called Star Wars is coming to Blu-ray this Thursday. So geeks around the world are lining up. I will not line up. I will, however, purchase it on release day. But
oh, you will?
Yes, I will.
How are you planning on going about that?
That's none of your beeswax, lady. I'm selling a kidney. Oh, I have plans.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so people are all over the world are probably picking up Star Wars, love it or hate it, you know, whatever. People complain and they'll still buy it. Or they'll complain and they won't. And George Lucas won't even feel it. It won't even be a tiny little speck on his radar.
There will be enough to buy it to make it worth the time and effort he put into it.
Enough people that buy it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, true enough. What else? I wanted to talk a little bit about box office from this past weekend. Contagion, Steven Soderbergh's movie. By the way, just to clarify, Michael said Steven Soderbergh will be surprised to find out his movie about a virus has zombies in it. I actually meant it's like a zombie movie because the virus affects people, but it's believable because this could actually happen, potentially. It was estimated to do $23.1 million over this past weekend, and it did $22.4 million, so quite close. The Warrior went from a low of $5.6 million to an even more disappointing $5.2 million. Ouch. So that's... let me just have a look at some of the other numbers from the weekend. What else is going on in our world? Fall shows still haven't started up. We're still in that a bit of an end-of-summer lull.
Some have. We started going over that last week.
Yeah, you know what problem we really have?
What's that?
We have children who are serial snobs.
Oh, yes, I know.
You first noticed it, I believe, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I did.
And, ladies and gentlemen, for your edification, cereal snobbery is the belief that a non-branded, not a generic, but a non-branded or house brand cereal from some sort of grocery chain is somehow subpar to a branded, you know who I'm talking about, Honey Nut Cheerios, Mini Wheats. There's such a big difference that we just shouldn't eat this stuff. We just shouldn't.
It's just Connor mostly.
Is it?
But you know what this all comes from is that the main grocery purchaser in our household has changed.
Yes.
I used to be the one to buy all the groceries. And I didn't ever buy no-name stuff.
No.
I just didn't ever see the reason to.
Didn't buy no-name or check prices, which is why we just about lost our home.
I
no, we
check
didn't.
Prices occasionally. Sounds like
we heard a dog skitter upstairs.
But now you are the main grocery purchaser. You are buying all the no-name stuff, and Connor just doesn't fly with that.
Yeah.
I'm with him.
That's tough. That's tough, you babies. You got to pull
up. Yeah, because then guess who ends up eating all the no-name stuff?
Who? I do.
You and I, and the kids eat all the good stuff. How's that fair?
It's not like the no-name stuff is bad. Anyway, we agree to disagree. Somehow a branding makes something more valuable. A branding and a 20% name premium makes something. Listen to us bickering. We're bickering again. And there are the dogs.
Yep, I think I better go. Hang on. It's probably Sonia.
False alarm. No one has broken into our home. The dogs are just, as we figured all along, idiots.
Yeah, I saw a cat or I don't know. They get excited over little things.
Did you hear that,
though?
The hounds. The hounds go crazy. Release the hounds.
They do. They're good, kind of good watchdogs, sort of.
Yeah.
Except I was saying this the other day.
What's that?
You know, anybody could just walk into our house and the dogs would love them and have nothing but respect for them and love and kisses and hugs and they could be here to rob us blind. But as long as they don't touch the mailbox.
That's right.
They are good.
God
the
help.
The second
God
they touch that mailbox,
the fools.
They must be bad.
God
evil.
Help the fools who try and put anything in something that's attached to our house.
But come inside. Feel free.
I just want to touch quickly, if I may, on some of the top opening weekends of September's past. Very interesting.
Okay, what happened to the box office?
I don't know. I'm going to go back there. First place was Sweet Home Alabama with...
Really?
Yes. What is her name? What is her name again?
Reese Witherspoon.
Total gross...
You hated that.
Yeah. Total gross of $127.2 million. Opened September 27, 2002.
Seriously?
Second place Rush Hour.
Oh, September. Okay.
Yeah. Second place Rush Hour did a $33 million opening. By the way, Sweet Home Alabama did 35.6 opening. So, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs from 2 years ago, 2009. Opened with 30.3. The Exorcism of Emily Rose. Not a family film, but I enjoyed it. I don't know if I'd ever see it again. September 9th, 30.054 million.
Yeah, that name just doesn't say family to me.
No. Eagle Eye, 29.1 million in 2008. Jackass number 2, 29.002.
Can you say that on this show?
I did. Jack Bum number 2. Jack Cheeks. Number 7, Resident Evil Afterlife, 26.6 million in 2010. Flight Plan.
That was a good one.
24.6. I thought you didn't like it.
Well, I did.
September 2005. The Town from last year, 23.8. Resident Evil Extinction, another Resident Evil in September. Interesting. You'd think it were planned.
Uh-huh.
23.67 million in 2007.
That rounds out the top 10.
It does. So, going back to You Wouldn't Let Me Escape, the weekend of September 9th to 11th, Contagion opened and did $22.4 million.
You already talked about
Contagion. Which is very nice. Yeah, I didn't talk about it box office, did I?
Yes.
Did I, folks? Someone? Anyone?
Mm-hmm. You did.
The Help opened last week and is in number 2 this week with $8.9 million.
No, it's in week 5 now, see?
What?
Week 5.
Oh, sorry, week 5. The Warrior just opened in position 3 now and 5.2. Very bad. The Debt, not very bad movie necessarily, but very bad positioning. And
for the opening weekend.
Yeah, and for their budget of $25 million. Contagion did, yeah, $22.4 million, and their budget is $60 million. So in their opening weekend, they did a third of their budget, which is nice. Columbiana, $3.9 million in week three. Rise of Planet of the Apes, still at $3.8 million in week number six, so doing very well. Well over their budget, $93 million budget, $167.8 million gross so far. Shark Night 3D, blech. Haven't seen it, don't care. Week number two dropped 59% to $3.4 million. Apollo 18, that scary scary moon movie, $2.8
million. It's scary?
Yep, $2.8 million. Week number two, drop of 67%. Ouch. Our Idiot Brother, Spy Kids, Crazy Stupid Love, kind of rounding out the top 10. Doing okay. Crazy Stupid Love has been around 7 weeks, and it still did $2.16 million. So that's not too bad.
You do top tens like you talk about your age when you were a kid. All right, so let's talk about the top 10 or 11 or 12.
10 or 11.
And when I was younger, I was like, I don't know, 8 or 10 or something.
I'm just floating around.
Yeah, you're a floater.
You can stay with me or not. And we've got a double shot this week of the Disney Vault. Well, I watched...
Didn't you like my double shot? It was good.
No. I don't... Pow, pow, yay, Yosemite, Michelle.
Sorry, I watched
The Boys, and you also blew nose wind on my arm, which is never a pleasant thing, nose wind. Growing up as kids, did you have problems out there, folks, with nose wind? My brothers and I were very disturbed by people breathing nose wind on each other.
I have a bigger problem with chicken water.
Yes.
To be
Michelle
frank.
Doesn't like...
Our vast virus database has been updated.
Look at that. Our database has been updated. I'm sure you're happy. That's the that's the downside of live podcasting. So I watched The Boys, which is a Disney documentary. And it's about the Sherman brothers. The Sherman brothers were an American... an American songwriting duo who specialized in musical films. And it's Robert and Richard Sherman. Both born in the 1920s, so they're getting up there in age. They have written more motion picture musical song scores than any other songwriting team in film history. And The Boys is a documentary released by Disney about them, about their lives, about their history, about their awards, about their accolades, about their work. So very, very good.
Right.
I couldn't recommend it more. Even if you say to me, Kent, I have no idea who the Sherman Brothers are. I don't know what you're talking about. I guarantee you've heard most, if not all, you would know most, if not all of their songs, ranging from It's a Small World, the theme for the Disney attraction of the same name.
Yep.
They won two Academy Awards for Mary Poppins in 1965, which included the songs Feed the Birds, Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, and the Oscar-winning Chim Chim Cheree.
And they did the whole soundtrack, though, didn't they?
Pretty much, yes. Since Mary Poppins' premiere, the Shermans have subsequently earned 9 Academy Award nominations, 2 Grammy Awards, 4 Grammy Award nominations, and 23 Gold and Platinum Certified albums. So they did everything from scoring Disney films, and actually Walt Disney, they did some work for Disney, and then he brought them right under his wing, and they became the writing team for Disney. So they scored a lot of Disney pictures, Aristocats, Bedknobs and Broomsticks, and actually their first non-Disney assignment came with Albert Broccoli, who some people might know as the man behind some of the greatest Bond films. He did Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And it's interesting to me that a lot of people, and maybe myself included at one point, would have chalked Chitty Chitty up to, and that was Chitty, by the way.
Yes.
That was a chitty thing to say. Chalked it up to being a Disney movie, and it's not. It is not a Disney movie. Some of their other Disney and non-Disney top box office film credits include Jungle Book, The Parent Trap, Charlotte's Web, Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, Snoopy Come Home, and Little Nemo Adventures in Slumberland. Don't know it.
Must have been an ace.
But lots of other great songs. Pineapple Princess, Let's Get Together. They worked with Johnny Burnett. They worked with Annette Funicello a lot. So just great. They became estranged over the years. That's one of the interesting things about the movie is that their sons, who are cousins, had not met until they were adults, well into their adult years.
Oh, no.
Because there was an estrangement and a separation between their dads.
Hmm. Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, it is too bad. So there's a little bit of pain and sadness in the documentary, but The Boys is fantastic. Check it out. I highly recommend it. Lots of cool bonus features as well. And then we will move over into... You take it away.
Mars Needs Moms. And to be honest, we can't watch some of it. I saw the whole thing. Connor was the one that had... He's been wanting to see this ever since it came out. I don't know why. He likes Mars. He likes moms. Put them together and he's all good.
Should we... Let me just interject quickly and then I'll get out of the way. It lost me. Not in terms of I didn't get what was going on. I found it formulaic. I found it boring. I found the animation annoying. It lost me right away. And I tried. I really tried. And I was out. I just thought, I'm not going to spend an hour and a half of my time.
The fact that you ended up in bed asleep is probably a bit telling as to your mood at the moment. And if you hadn't been overtired, you may have enjoyed it.
Well, you know what?
A little more.
I think my annoyance with it was that it was very... the plot was old. I mean, it's so cliched and so ridden with cliches. The acting was... Like, the voice acting, I thought, was good. The animation was very Polar Express, which to me is annoying. If you're going to make an animated film... Now, I'm sure I'm going to annoy lots of people by saying this. If you're going to make an animated film, make an animated film. Don't make an animated film that's trying to look like a real one. If they wanted this to be, I mean, The Last Starfighter. There's great, you know, there's great Zathura. There's great science fiction kids movies that are, it's a movie with real actors and real sets and real locations and yada yada. So either do that or don't. Don't try to be lifelike animated. That annoys me. So Polar Express.
But, you know, if they had done that, then Seth Green couldn't have played the 8-year-old boy.
That's right.
Nine.
That's right.
But
and it's anyway. It's too bad that he didn't get to do any voice acting. But yes, as Michelle says, he did the motion capture work for the main character.
Oh, he didn't do the voice.
No, he didn't do the voice. Seth Dusky, a young boy, voiced the main character,
there
Milo.
There you go. See, I just saw the stuff at the end where they were showing Seth Green walking around and jumping around, and I assumed he was the voice, too. And I was thinking, why would they do that? Kind of weird to have him do the voice of a 9-year-old boy, but they didn't, so there you go.
So Seth Green stars, but technically he doesn't. His movements do,
which is sort of silly.
Yeah,
in a lot
Tom Everett's got Joan Cusack plays the mom. She's great at playing moms, isn't she?
Yeah.
So directed by Simon Wells, produced by Robert Zemeckis, no big surprise with real life
I thought you were getting
action.
Out of the way.
I am.
It doesn't matter. Go ahead. I'm distracted by the time. So
put together by Image Movers Digital, which is, of course, Robert Zemeckis' company, and Stupid Monkey, which I didn't catch, which is Seth Green's company. So there you go. It's a twist on the Mars Needs Women theme. Martians are all women, basically, right? Female.
They explain why later.
Okay.
They're not all, but that's all.
Those are the dominant ones. So they're studying Earth from afar, and what they do is they identify a mom who is authoritarian and strong and whatever, and they miss the overall context. They miss the fact that this is a loving, kind mom who just happens to kind of, you know, whip her kid into shape from time to time. So they zero in on the fact that she's very strong and very dominant. So they abduct Milo's mom and bring her to Mars to help help create nanny bots, which are, well, you know, just like it sounds.
For each nanny bot that they create, they need a new mom.
Okay.
With new experiences and new... And they need a new personality, basically. So for each nanny bot that they create, they need a new mom. And at least that was the impression I got.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was the reason she was taken. And it was because she was doing a good job.
So released this year in March 2011, and the budget, this is the real kicker, a budget of $150 million and a box office of $39.5 million. Wow, we're just dogs barking, we're phones ringing, Grand Central Station. So Michelle's moving on because she has to go and pick up a son. After spending 6 weeks wearing sensor-equipped performance capture suit, Seth Green's voice sounded too mature. Oh, there we go. So they yanked his voice for the character, and it was dubbed over by 11-year-old actor Seth Dusky. Film received mixed reviews from critics. The acting was praised, but no surprise, as I alluded to a bit. The writing, story, 3D, and the drama were all criticized. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 35% positive based on reviews from 100 critics, averaging 5 out of 10. The consensus was that, quote, the cast is solid and it's visually well-crafted, but Marsneed's mom suffers from a lack of imagination and heart. And that's what I touched on, is the fact that it just felt flat to me. It didn't engage me. It didn't pull me in. It was a train that left the station, and I had one foot on, and it, ultimately just ended up leaving it. Wasn't really that interested. So I'm assuming that Disney is probably hoping they'll make up some of this lost budget ground in home video sales. But I guess partly what they're saying is that the poor box office performance was a major contributor to Disney's decision to close Image Movers Digital. And I didn't realize that this Marsden's Moms was the death knell for Image Movers, but I guess not too surprising, which is unfortunate because as much as I say I don't like that Zemeckis approach, it was pretty cool in A Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey. And it's, you know, it's pretty neat. It does go into that whole uncanny valley area, which if you're interested in that concept at all and what it means, feel free to Google or go onto Wikipedia, even better, and look for Uncanny Valley. It was originally coined with Japanese robots who seemed too lifelike and too human and just ended up being creepy, really creepy. And so that's what people are kind of saying. A lot of the Polar Express, Mars Needs Moms kind of approach is a little bit too close to real, but still plasticky and fake enough to seem creepy. So that's what that's all about. So that is View from the Couch. It's a short and sweet one for this week. And apologies for some of these interruptions. But as Michelle said earlier, we're into the fall full swing of the Dixon household schedule. So yeah, so if you're planning back to touch on Star Wars just briefly, I'm sure it'll do great numbers on Blu-ray this week. And there's the options of obviously picking up either the original trilogy or the prequels or the whole thing. And no big surprise that the whole thing is a better deal and a better price overall. So I'm sure that will be flying off shelves and retail locations from Best Buy and whatever, Walmart and Target to probably your local 7-Eleven will even have a little display of them to cash in on the sales. So there you go. So enjoy your Star Wars week. I know I will be. I have deliberately stayed away from any of the, oh no, he changed this, or here's a list of all the stuff that was changed and edited and whatever, because frankly, I just want to sit down and watch these films without the preconception that anything has been ruined. You know, being a fan and having seen them as many times as I have, I will definitely recognize what's been changed. So I just want to see that. I just want to be surprised by it and kind of see what happened from that perspective, rather than whining and moaning about what George Lucas has ruined my life or whatever. As Entertainment Weekly and a lot of other sources have said, if your life hinges around your childhood and the linkage there that exists there between Star Wars and your childhood, maybe time to move on. Maybe time to, I hate to say it this way, maybe time to grow up. I'm a huge fan, though, and Star Wars is definitely a part of my life and a part of my my thought process here and there. But at the same time, it's not the be all and end all. And And I certainly acknowledge it for having the holes and the weaknesses that it does. So enjoy Star Wars in high def. I'm sure it'll be a treat for the eyes and ears. And that has been View from the Couch for Wednesday, September 14th. Everybody have a great week. And on behalf of Michelle and I, thanks for tuning in every week. Thanks for listening. And thanks to all our loyal listeners who continue to send us emails and little shout outs here and there by email. We appreciate you following. We appreciate you listening, and as always, we'll catch you next time. Bye.
You've been listening to View from the Couch, a DVD Verdict podcast. View from the Couch is available exclusively on DVDverdict.com. Watch for new episodes every week. Thanks for your continued support. Kent and Michelle appreciate it. Be sure to visit DVDverdict.com for the latest in DVD and theatrical release reviews, DVD release information, talent interviews, event coverage, and much, much more.